What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 219th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I'm your host, SBJ, and with me today, I have Will.
Yeah, what was I supposed to... Is this Pokemon, or... I'm so confused. This marathon training program, it's just going to get worse, folks. I have no idea where I am right now.
You're training for the running.
Yes.
The sprinting.
Which will end at the end of October. So we've got many, many months of me waking up in the middle of a Sunday, not quite knowing exactly where I am, but being expected to be on the ball for our Mixlr audience.
How many American miles are you running?
In the end or in the right now?
Both.
So I did a little over 6 miles this morning. At the end, it's going to be 26.2 miles.
In one strut?
In one go, yep. I believe it starts and ends at the Iwo Jima Memorial in Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, wow. Well, we have 30 American Mile Travis with us today, too.
Is that my new nickname or something? Because I haven't earned that.
I was
looking for something in the new trailer that we'll talk about to make fun of for when you introduce me, so that I would have something to make fun of. And as I was watching it, I noticed the new graphics for the new little display for when an ability activates in the new game. Looks like it came off of like a paper cup from the 90s. So. Found that and figured that was funny enough. So,
I can't believe the Rotom has a face tattoo. Talk about questionable choices.
So much to talk about.
Ugh.
I woke up this morning and I was looking through Pokemon news and I was like, nothing really happened in the last week. And I was like, oh yeah, we got that trailer. Never mind.
Yeah.
So we have rundown for the show here. We have some Pokemon news, and then our main topic will be the Sun and Moon trailer. I obviously that falls under news, but I think that'll be our biggest topic and take up the most time. And then I have like 3 emails that we'll tackle. I looked at emails prior to the show. I was somewhat ahead, kind of planning the show out, and then we have our Pokemon of the week. And this is the second week in the row we're doing this on Mixlr live. So if the couple people that are listening, I get... early treat. Again, this is something we're just trying, but we'll see how that works out. Before we dive into some Pokemon stuff, Travis, how was your week?
Pretty good. Played some D&D the other day.
Not Dungeons and Dragonites, some real D&D.
No. Yeah, some Pokemon-free Dungeons and Dragons. My party beat the big boss at the end of the chapter, and they survived. I'd scared them a little bit to make them think they were gonna die. So that was good. One of them was like, they haven't played for like a super long time, so one of them was like, what happens when a character dies? Like, you roll another one. They're like, oh no, heal me.
you have to leave the room and not come back.
If you die in the game, you die in real life.
Oh, yes. That's how I play.
Could be like a way to get people off, like, out of your house. Like, hey, buddy, you're dead. This is kind of awkward, so there's the door.
No, you die in the game, you die in real life is the way I play tic-tac-toe.
That's why I die in tic-tac-toe? I thought you just lost.
That's death in my eyes. Why do you think I got glove
wedges, man? Permadeath tic-tac-toe.
Yep.
I'm running a Nuzlocke in my tic-tac-toe game.
Well, it's kind of like that movie from the 80s.
What movie?
You could be talking about so many. Are we talking like Lawnmower Man? Are we talking like...
Land Before Time?
I promise you there was only one movie in the 80s where a game of tic-tac-toe later turned into a game of thermonuclear war.
You're talking about war games.
You're talking about Jumanji?
Yes, Space Jumanji. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I love how it always comes
awesome.
Back
by the way,
too much. I've never seen
War Games is a classic, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of War Games, Will, how was your week?
I mean, it's pretty boring. Nothing, nothing really going on. Working on some lace knitting and kicking myself every time I miss a yarn over, but that's going straight over most people's heads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's certainly mine.
Bring back the D&D talk. I can at least understand that. I was at a wedding last night. I was at Vinny's wedding. Vinny has been on the show at least once. I know he did the Rayquaza hot dog movie with me when we did that live on, we were using Blog Talk Radio at the time. But yeah, I went to his wedding. It was in a barn in the middle of nowhere. Well, most of Wisconsin is the middle of nowhere.
We can all remind Vinny, no wedding invitation, no wedding gift. That's my policy. Tell me how wonderful his wedding is.
It was good. I felt bad because I left slightly early and I also left without saying goodbye. But not to be confused with me attempting to find him and unable to. So at some point you're just like, well, I'm leaving.
Yeah. So you did an Irish exit.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Either that or ghosting, yes. Or I think it's called an Irish goodbye, which is when you just leave without hoping anybody notices.
I mean, I was trying to get noticed. I mean, his wedding was very nice. It was in a barn. It was I would classify it under like a Pinterest wedding. It was good though. It was in the middle of nowhere, like I said. There was like a volleyball. It was at a camp. Let me preface that. So there was, you had the option to set up tents the night before, and they had like a campfire kind of thing. And there was a small like lake there where there was paddle boats and there was like a baseball
field. Did they have a friendly rivalry with the wedding across the lake?
A la Meatballs, another fantastic 80s movie.
I want to apologize because I said Lawnmower Man when you're talking about 80s movies about dying in the game, you die in real life. But apparently that came out in 92, so oops. Sorry, everyone.
Another episode where Travis has corrections about 10 minutes later.
Yep. It's my new thing. I think people liked it.
No, I like it a lot. Yeah, so it was a very good wedding. Irene kind of got sick, whether that was the food or just being sick, still undetermined, but we snuck out at 8, which I was a little upset because they were supposed to bring dessert out at 8, and we left at like 7:50.
You didn't get any wedding cake?
I don't think they had cake. I think they were doing like brownies. I always like kick myself when either I miss dessert or dessert's just bad. And I don't want to eat it.
Well, now you're going to have the wedding curse and you'll never get married. That's a thing.
Way to go, Steve.
If you don't eat the wedding cake, you curse yourself that you will never get married.
If you don't eat the wedding cake in the game, you don't eat the wedding cake in real life.
Awesome. Well, let's start off our new segment with some controversial, some depressing, some Pikachu news.
What? This must be new to me.
I'm kind of shocked, yeah.
Did Pikachu die? Did all the Pikachu die?
You guys haven't heard about this?
No.
All right. Well, this is a fun fact to with super effective listeners. I don't normally share the news with Travis and Will prior because I want genuine reactions and statements, but I can't believe you guys didn't hear about this. To lay out the groundwork to this news, If you were living under a rock, this is the first time a Pokemon game will be released in China. It adds the two Chinese languages, Cantonese and Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
According to Quartz, so this article is off Polygon, but there was a bunch of articles. People who lived in Hong Kong were displeased upon learning that the name of the original 151 Pokemon would be translated to Mandarin instead of the largely more spoken Cantonese. As a result, the new name for Pikachu reads like Pikachu in Cantonese, which sounds different from the original translation, Bikachu. To demonstrate to Nintendo how upset they are with the name change, people in Hong Kong have started protesting in the streets, demanding the company use Cantonese translations for people who live in the city. Some protesters told Quartz they were ready to boycott Nintendo if the company did not release a Cantonese translation for the games. In response, Nintendo released a letter asking Hong Kong fans to simply ignore the Mandarin spelling and read it like they usually would. Despite that, however, the Hong Kong community of Pokemon fans have set up a Facebook group to express their concerns and frustrations.
Well, now that's the nuclear option. If they got a Facebook group, man.
The group is already 6,000 members strong, asking Nintendo to recognize their independence and respect their chosen language. There is no exact release date for Sun and Moon yet. That would be in China. But the company did release the first look at the new starters earlier this month.
So just to clarify a little bit, I think you started out that news article by saying that it's available in both Chinese languages. First off, there's many languages that are spoken by traditional people in China. It's a huge, huge country. But the official language, I want to say, of the government is Mandarin. And then southeastern China, which would encompass Hong Kong and also Taiwan, which is not the People's Republic of China, is Cantonese. Pardon me if I've gotten that wrong. But the languages that will be available in, or the way that Chinese will be available in Pokemon Sun and Moon is, I believe, traditional Chinese writing and simplified Chinese writing, which are not languages, but just ways of writing the text. So traditional Chinese, I believe, is a symbolic language. So all of the words are actual, the character is the actual full word. And then simplified Chinese is more of a phonetic way of writing Chinese. So that's why the Cantonese people would be upset, because the phonetic use of simplified Chinese reflects a Mandarin phoneme rather than a Cantonese phoneme. Traditional Chinese, like someone reading it in Mandarin or Cantonese, it makes no difference because the words are the words and it's not the way they sound. It would actually just be an issue in simplified Chinese. Does that make any sense at all?
Yes.
I zoned out because an ant was crawling across my laptop, and that was just weird scene. But, Lord. I mean, from the things that I was paying attention to, it sounds right.
God forbid someone get a linguistics education from William R. Anderson.
I have a follow-up from Bubble News here, Bulbapedia's news source. They have a different article. I'll read just some of it here. On May 10th, 2016, Nintendo released a new set of Chinese names for the first 151 Pokemon in an effort to unify the different names used between the regions. Most of the names were derived from the Mandarin translation, while 24 of the names from the current set were new translations. As mentioned, Pikachu's Cantonese name was one of those that received a change to its Mandarin counterpart. However, the change of Pikachu's name does not affect Taiwan or mainland China, where Mandarin is the official language.
Ah, okay.
The controversy stems from different pronunciations between Cantonese and Mandarin, as well as political tensions between Hong Kong and mainland China. Mm-hmm. Some citizens have perceived the name change or mainlanderization of the implementation of sociocultural systems used in mainland on Hong Kong. Those are a lot of complicated buzzwords.
Well, so you understand. I mean, I
understand it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I get it. It's all politics at that point.
One country, two systems.
But what's also important is to understand the history of Hong Kong, which Hong Kong was actually part of the United Kingdom until, I want to say, 2000 or 2001, when it was handed back to China, People's Republic of China. And at that point in time, there was kind of like a gentleman's agreement that Hong Kong would be called a special economic zone, which was not necessarily communist. It was more of a free market type area. And so the people of Hong Kong still feel a somewhat like they're not really part of People's Republic of China, when in all reality, they fall under that governmental system, protest as much as they want to. So that's where the tension's coming from. Over 100 years, they were ruled by the United Kingdom, and now they're ruled by a different country, and they're like, what's up?
All right, last...
There's no way to make these political tensions funny.
I think you would see, just bringing it back to specifically Pokemon, I think if... I can't think of where you could find another example, but I think if a quirk of localization, and not to diminish that to the political tensions between the within that nation as a quirk, but if a snafu of localization meant that a Pokemon's name changed for us that has been the same since the game's launch, I think you would see the same.
Right. The last part here,
so it's understandable.
Last part here on Bubble News is, while considered to be a single language, Mandarin, Cantonese, and other varieties of the language are mutually unintelligible, names rendered into Chinese based on pronunciation in Mandarin will differ when pronounced in Cantonese. As an example, Pikachu's Mandarin name is pronounced Pikachu in Mandarin, but becomes Pikayu in Cantonese. Despite the differences in pronunciation, all varieties of Chinese shares a standard written form. That's what Will said. It should be noted that the former names have been used in official materials such as the dub, Mandarin, and Cantonese, and various manga series for nearly two decades. In addition, the Mandarin names were originally based on Taiwanese translations, which were later adopted in mainland China. Moreover, the Pokemon from the later generations have essentially the same names in all three regions. So there you go. You know, China, a very complicated country.
People, this is nothing to go to war over. It's okay. We can learn to accept all forms of Pikachu.
Also, there are.
Should we call Pikachu Pikachu for the rest of?
I
don't know what political Pikachu statement I would be making if we did that. So we should probably steer clear.
Yeah, I got a political statement. Isn't it amazing that Steve can pronounce Chinese Pokemon names better than he can pronounce them in English? That's what's amazing.
Finally, I'm good at something. I mean, there are plenty of months to go before Pokemon's coming out in for us and for China, so I'm sure stuff will naturally get resolved. Or if it's maybe, if you look at it, of it's just a couple people being extremely vocal and that's why it made news, or that it is a big deal and it will be addressed in the upcoming months. So only time will tell on that part. Switching,
like 6,000 person Facebook group is not that big.
No, especially in China's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really. Where is Nintendo of? Is there like a Nintendo of Asia that's not just the Nintendo that's in Japan? Or I guess it's the Pokemon Company, but
oh, like a Nintendo of America, Nintendo of UK.
I'm trying to figure out who's going to do the localization for the new added languages.
TPCI does all worldwide.
Oh, okay.
So the one in Seattle is in charge of all worldwide.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there were different branches of TCPI.
TPCI? The Pokemon Company
International. The Company Pokemon International.
The Pokemon Company Internet.
That's the French translation.
Since you guys loved Hong Kong news so much, I have even more Hong Kong news. Nintendo Hong Kong, which apparently is a place that you guys were just talking about, has announced that the 2016 Pokemon National Championships Hong Kong Video Game National Championships have been postponed. The reason for postponement is not mentioned, but is likely related to the demonstration that occurred on May 31st. On the same day, as the protest, Nintendo Hong Kong released a statement concerning potential postponement or cancellation of the upcoming championship. This was related to the Pikachu debacle.
Yeah, I find that interesting because, I may be completely off, so anyone who is a cinephile or much more aware of how things happen in the various cultures encompassed by the different Chinas, it's my recollection that while people in that area of the world are quick to protest, they tend to actually come into mass protesting rather rapidly, much more rapidly than the American culture would feel inspired to do so. They are also incredibly polite protesters. In that they are not rioters. They don't, you know, tear each other's heads off for Cabbage Patch dolls. They much more like, everyone is going to wear yellow shirts and stand on this street corner for 12 hours to let everybody know how upset we are about Bikayu. They're not going to like get angry or violent at the national championships. But well, I mean, I guess protest at whatever level in some people's eyes is unacceptable, but absolutely a different culture from ours. So right. Very hard to rate what's what they can see as upsetting and disruptive compared to what we in America would just call the police on.
Well, we mentioned the Hong Kong video game national championships last week, I believe, or it could have been the week before, but
a couple weeks ago.
At the Hong Kong Championships, they're going to be distributing a shiny Mewtwo. So that event was originally scheduled for June 9th at the I Square. And
that's right.
Yeah,
that's really disappointing because we could have gotten all those clone shiny Mewtwos.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen a shiny Mewtwo out there.
So there's no new date for the VGCs. So we'll keep you updated when that comes full circle here. More happy news, or not, protesting of sort. Maybe you can protest if you don't like Manaphy, but you can now download Manaphy off the Nintendo Network. That is running.
More like Manaphy. Manaphy.
That is running June 1st to June 24th. You are going to get a level 100 Manaphy. Its ability is Hydration. Its moves are Tail, Glow, Bubble, and Water Sport. And that is available for Pokemon X, Pokemon Y, Omega Ruby, and Alpha Sapphire. And again, that is Nintendo Network.
I would argue that since Manaphy is not an actual mythical or legendary Pokemon, that this is a new Pokemon Ranger game confirmed.
What? Manaphy is mythical?
No, it's not. You get it as an egg.
It says mythical above its title on Pokemon20.com.
Well, that's somebody from CPCI who is not informed about the history of Manaphy, but you get it as an egg in a Pokemon Ranger game. So now they're just dropping a hint that there will be a new Pokemon Ranger game coming out.
Why would that preclude it from the categorization of mythical Pokemon?
Because mythicals are only the ones that you can only get as distributions, yep. Internet distributions. They don't hatch from eggs. They can't breed. Manaphy can be bred.
There are exceptions to that rule.
You could argue that getting the Pokemon, like you could get the Jirachi from Pokemon the GameCube box, right? Pokemon Ranch. Or
I remember that system, the GameCube box.
It was either Pokemon Ranch on the Wii as the WiiWare thing, or it was the.
It wasn't a Colosseum,
or maybe it was Celebi. But then there's also like a bonus disc for one of the Pokemon stadiums or something, or maybe Pokemon Coliseum where you got another one. So there's precedent for mythical Pokemon being.
No, they don't come as eggs and you can't breed them, which Manaphy does both.
Yeah, but Manaphy is like super weird because it is an egg, or it comes from an egg.
That's not weird. That's where most Pokemon come from.
So what would you call Manaphy? Just a Pokemon?
Yes.
No, because you can't just catch it.
It's a weird Pokemon from another region. But that doesn't make it mythical.
Well, it doesn't make it... I would say that it's mythical and not, like, legendary or a regular Pokemon.
Well...
Let's call a spade a spade. It is not just a normal Pokemon.
Right, yeah.
Because when you breed it, it breeds another thing that doesn't exist anywhere.
Well, let's all do this. Go out and buy 12 dozen, just a dozen eggs, put them in your fridge and hold on to them until they announce the new Pokemon Ranger game, and then smash those eggs in your face because you're going to have egg in your face.
Oh, my.
Ooh. Well, I'm not saying you're wrong on that.
But you are saying I'm wrong on that.
No, I'm saying you're wrong that
it's going to be a new Pokemon Ranger game, and you're saying, nah, this is the reason why it's not going to be a new Pokemon Ranger game.
No. I'm saying the only claim that I'm arguing with is that your claim that Manaphy is not a legendary or a mythical Pokemon. I think it certainly is. And the company Pokemon International is behind me on this. I think, sure, maybe that means Pokemon Ranger game. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm indifferent to a Pokemon Ranger game, but there are 12 months in the year, and there are 11, I think there are 11 because they skipped January, mythical Pokemon, and Manaphy is under one of these 11 that they decided to distribute.
Well, I'm in Facebook right now starting a group to protest both of you and its super effective anti-Pokemon Ranger stance.
I'll tell you what.
And anyone
once
who
that
wants
Facebook
to join
group
me,
gets
free.
The 6,000 members, we will report on it officially.
Then we'll talk. Then we'll postpone our next episode, and then we'll talk.
Next month, July 1st through July 24th, we will be getting Shaymin. Again, that is through the Nintendo Network.
Funny, we'll be getting Shaymin, and we'll be being shamed. That joke would have been a lot better if your name weren't also a word.
That's how I get everybody.
Shaymin will have the moves Sea to Flare, Aromatherapy, Substitute, and Energy Ball. And again, that is available through the Nintendo Network. I think after that is Arceus, which is going to be GameStop downloaded. All right, final bit of news here before we get to the other news. There are some more stuff revealed about Pokemon Go. I don't know how in-depth you want to talk about this, but I have an article off the Inquisitor, and they pulled pretty much all their details from the subreddit, Sylph Road. It's one of those. Also, the Inquisitor has a really terrible website because their stuff doesn't load properly. And no, it's not me because I have 100 other web pages open that are fine. Okay.
It sounds weird, a thing called the Inquisitor. That sounds like that, you know, that sounds like a fake journal. That sounds like a fake media outlet from dystopian fiction.
It sounds like a British tabloid.
Their subtitle is News Worth Sharing.
I'll be the judge of that.
There was some Zendesk leak that showed, if you don't know what Zendesk is, it's just a help center that a lot of bigger companies. There were some Zendesk leaks that showed some new menus, including something that explained what candy was and what Stardust was, not to be confused with the wrestler
Stardust.
Well, it's
a sweet food that kids love.
As you acquire Stardust and candy, you gain the ability to power up, capture Pokemon. The ability power up is the ability's name, which increases their CP and their HP. You acquire candy and Stardust by catching Pokemon and hatching eggs. Candy is specific to each Pokemon's evolution family. For example, Bulbasaur candy is obtained by catching and hatching any Pokemon in the Bulbasaur family. Break that down even simpler. Bulbasaur, Ivysaur, and Venusaur. You will need Bulbasaur candy to power up a Bulbasaur, Ivysaur, or Venusaur. Stardust can be used to power up any Pokemon in your collection. For example, you can power up a Rattata using Stardust acquired by catching a Meowth. And there is a screenshot below that goes a little more in-depth that you will need 100 Stardust and 1 Ekans candy to power up an Ekans, but you would only need 17 Ekans candy to evolve your Ekans into an Arbok. Sylph Road, yeah.
Oh,
I got
there's
that.
Your evolution mechanic. There you go.
Also showed a new item called the Lure Patch, not to be confused with the Nicotine Patch. It has the ability to attract Pokemon to Pokestops for 15 minutes when deployed. You can also now assign a new nickname to your captured Pokemon and tag certain Pokemon as favorites.
Well, that's mean. They're all my favorite.
It seems that we are getting closer to the official release date because according to Niantic's blog, they quote, "It is getting closer. It is sort of like making a big meal for your friends or family. We have been sweating the details in the kitchen and we are now anxious to share our creation with you. Our team is learning and iterating and we can't wait to share Pokemon Go with everyone. Stay tuned for more details," end quote.
Don't you love it when a team iterates?
Oh, I iterate all the time. I find that their concept of making a big meal for their family is way different from my concept of making a big meal for my family. because my concept
spitting
is
in all of the side dishes.
No, dialing up Boston Market and saying, I've got 15 people coming over. Wait, what combo can you put together for 15 people? Thanks, I'll be there in half an hour.
Hey, that's what the Pokemon company did when they hired Niantic.
Oh Lord, you're right. You are right. Except it didn't come out in half an hour. I believe they're going to be giving they're going to have a developer panel at E3. That has also been announced, if I recall some things that I've read.
I would not be surprised if at E3, whether I don't know what day Nintendo is presenting or not presenting with their Nintendo Treehouse, but I would not be surprised if after they show footage, they'll go an open beta for everyone, and it will be in beta for the rest of the year, because they're going to pull like some Gmail, where Gmail was in beta for like 8 years before they ever officially. So if anything's happening, they're going to say open beta for everyone at the end of this press conference. Calling it now.
That would be cool. There are two Nintendo Treehouse of Horrors. The first one is Zelda and Pokemon, and then the second one is Monster Hunter Generations and a bunch of stuff that nobody cares about.
That seems like an E3 press conference.
I remember reading that Nintendo's only E3 presentation was about the Zelda thing.
They are only bringing Zelda to the show floor.
Okay.
But that doesn't have to do with their Treehouse stuff, which is in Seattle and streamed throughout the weekend. Yeah. So
hold on. We've got news, because I think they've actually changed their plans. It's not just Zelda, that they might actually have Pokemon on the show floor.
Oh, I still don't think they're gonna have Pokemon on the show floor.
Not like even like a demo.
No. What do they have to demo? Like, who are they convincing to, like, no one? If you're going to E3, you either like or don't like Pokemon. A new game is not going to convince you at this point.
Two Treehouse of Horror live video broadcasts, one June 14th, one June 15th. Pokemon Go update Q&A with developers, but that's separate.
Yeah. That's probably not going to be. I don't know if they haven't announced Nintendo Direct. I would assume there will be a Nintendo Direct. Well, I know they're showing stuff.
No. Nobody's doing that stuff anymore. Everybody's pulling out at E3, man.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're just doing Treehouse of Horrors and that's it.
Yeah, because they don't need, because that works. Like, that was some of the best parts of E3 last year. I mean, you can say that,
I think that's exactly what Will's point is, that you can have a strong E3 presence without actually having a strong, you can basically pull out of E3 and still satisfy people with your quote-unquote E3 presence.
Well, yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
not necessary to do what people used to do and go all out.
I mean,
it.
But this has been Nintendo for like the last 4 years. Like, they stopped going to the stage show and started doing Nintendo Direct. So, like, this is not different than anything they've ever done besides only bringing Zelda to the show floor, which is fine, because it's the last Wii U game.
And the first NX game.
Right. Well, that's what they say, at least. All right, well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about the Pokemon Sun and Moon trailer. So we will be right back. And we are back from our break to talk to you about more Pokemon Sun and Moon. Eventually, that game is coming out November 18th, I believe, in the United States.
So, like, a little over 5 more months.
A little over 5 months, yeah. Where to begin? Let's begin with the two legendary Pokemon here. The first one is Solgaleo, which is categorized as the Tsunne Pokemon, S-U-N-N-E.
Well, it's they. I don't know. It's like, that's just Sun.
Okay, I'm reading the press release here.
Yeah, they spelled them both weird.
Yeah, Moon is spelled Moone. So
yeah.
Anyways, it is 11 American feet tall. It weighs 507 American pounds. The typing is Psychic Steel, and its ability is Full Metal Body. The
Mega Jirachi's weird.
So Galio is referred to with the reverence as the beast that devours the sun. So Galio's body holds a vast amount of energy, and it shines with light when it is active. It has a flowing mane with a remarkable resemblance to the sun. Its signature move is Sun Steel Strike, an attack that charges at an opponent with the force of a meteor, disregarding the target's ability. So Galio's ability is Full Metal Body, a new ability that... Well, that's debatable. A new ability that has no previous Pokemon has had. With Full Metal Body, a Pokemon's stats will not be lowered by an effect of an opponent's move or ability.
I think it's clear that Full Metal Body is not as unique as it sounds.
Yeah, it's a new name for an old ability.
Is it not exactly the same as Clear Body?
Unless there's a detail about it that they have not yet revealed, it sounds exactly the same as Clear Body.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's like the same thing that
Rushroom and
Terravolt and was it Turbo Blaze?
Yeah,
was
you got it.
Rushroom. Yes. That were both
Mold Breaker.
So yeah.
I gotta say that this is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I support a lot of things that Pokemon does, but I do not support rehashing abilities with new names.
Especially because it goes back to my constant thing I rant about it, namely the increasing complexity of the games, because adding new abilities is awesome. That's really cool. But when you have multiple abilities of the same name, different way around. You have multiple identical abilities with different names. It's purely just a new thing to learn and remember what it is.
Right.
As opposed to a new feature that sure makes it a little harder to memorize all of the new Pokemon, but add something new. Like, this doesn't add anything new.
Yeah.
But I like the designs of both of these Pokemon. I think they're both really cool.
I would disagree a little bit in that I don't think people put that much into memorizing the name of the ability that somebody has. They just memorize what it does. So
yeah,
it's
sure.
Not that hard.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, it's an obnoxious design decision regardless.
Right.
In my
like
opinion.
At what point in the creative process are they like, well, let's just give this Pokemon Clear Body, but like let's rename it, because like it has to have a new name, because
I'll tell you at what point. It's either pay programmers $50,000 to program in some new ability throughout all of Sun and Moon, or pay some dude $10 to come up with a cool name for Clear Body.
But why?
Which like, choice are you going to make?
Like, why not just give it Clear Body?
Yeah, like what benefit is
Mewtwo
it?
Has pressure. They got all these Pokemon that have pressure.
It's a glorious golden lion thing.
Yeah, but like
Clear Body.
I'm not gonna like
Metagross has Clear Body, and that thing sure ain't clear.
But I'm not gonna like look at Solgaleo and go, oh, Clear Body. If it was cooler, maybe I'd use it.
Maybe if you called it like, I don't know, Full Metal Body, evoking that getting that Kubrick vibe.
I know. Oh my god, it's so dark. It's so dark. I don't know why they would use like a reference to that particular movie, which just horrified
me.
There's no way
it's a reference to Full Metal.
Obviously it's not, but it does it touches it close enough that it brought those thoughts to my mind.
Oh, it touches it all right. Lunala or Lunala. I don't know. Luna is moon.
We're at the point where we can't correct you, right? Because your guess is as good as
right.
Yes.
I'm gonna go Lunala. I'm going to do that.
I'm going to go Lunala.
Okay.
I like Lunala.
Lunala. All right.
Yes.
We have, that is the Mune Pokemon. It is 13 feet tall. It weighs 264 American pounds. It is Psychic Ghost with the ability Shadow Shield. Which
is just multi-scale.
Spoiler.
Oops, sorry.
Since ancient times, Lunala has been honored as an emissary of the moon, referred 2 with reverence as the beast that calls the moon. Lunala is constantly absorbing light and converting it into energy. With its
That sounds like a complaint you would like. Jerry is just constantly absorbing light. Like, we get it.
With its wings spread to absorb the surrounding light and glittering like the crescent moon, it resembles a beautiful night sky. Lunala's signature moongeist beam attack releases an ominous beam of light that disregards the target's ability. Lunala's ability is Shadow Shield, a new ability that no previous Pokemon has had. With the Shadow Shield ability, a Pokemon will take less damage from an attack when it lands. It will take less damage from an attack that lands when the Pokemon has full HP.
Arguably this one, I mean, in the same way that Full Metal Body could be different than Clear Body if it had additional stipulations, like maybe Clear or maybe Full Metal Body would prevent the attack reduction from burn or something, then it would be a different ability. This one, again, could be slightly different than Multiscale if it was a different amount of damage reduction than half. Like, if it reduced that first attack by 3/4 or 1/4, it would be different, but it sounds like Multiscale.
Yeah. The one thing I would say about that Multiscale is always, it's only been a hidden ability in the past, so this is the first time that it's not a
hidden
ability. Yeah,
I guess. Huh.
Is it? That's not the same for Clear Body, though.
No, Clear Body, any old junker can get Clear Body.
Like Metagross, any old junker. All right, moving on.
How many Pokemon even have Clear Body? I think it's not that common, is it?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Someone was on the Bulbapedia page.
Maybe I was on the Cerebees. You don't know. You don't know me.
Do we address the fact that people are upset? Mostly at Solgaleo. Because
of the typing, is that what
it's because called? It's not fire type.
Because it's not fire, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know. I've always feel like I'm in a different boat as Pokemon fans. Like, yes, Solgaleo looked like a fire Pokemon. Am I upset that it's not a fire Pokemon? No. There are a million fire dog Pokemon we already have, and by a million I mean Entei. I mean Arcanine. I mean Pyroar.
Yep, I was just gonna say Pyroar.
I don't need another fire dog. And so then,
well, lions are cats,
right? Yeah, yeah, lions are cats too.
2.0. Lions are cats 2.0.
Right.
Lion cat two lion.
And so
video.
So it's like the range of emotion of being upset that Solgaleo is not fire when it looks like it should be fire, and then going, what is Pokemon doing? Solgaleo, a legendary that is supposed to represent the sun, is weak against fire. I don't know the intention there, and I've seen some theories, but like, clearly that is intentional. Just like
I like the typing because, I mean, I don't have an extensive knowledge of this, but I assume that the, you know, a lot of cultures have placed the sun in a high place of reverence in their religious beliefs, and those beliefs are not necessarily connected to fire in any meaningful way. And like, if before science told us that the sun was indeed a ball of flaming gas and a fusion reactor or whatever it is.
I believe the sun is a mass of incandescent gas is how the phrase goes, but yes, go on.
Sure. but without knowing that, you would just associate it with light and not fire. So I think it's a more interesting choice to sort of. And the fact that it's called like the beast that devours the sun sounds like a religious belief. It sounds like an eschaton or something. So I think going more towards like a religious reverence of the sun, which it might be, it's a guess on my part. I'm guessing that's the direction they're going to go. I think that's more interesting than just the sun is fire, so we'll make it fire. That's more interesting to me.
Right. And then in the same eyes, Lunala is weak against dark. So the two types, fire and dark, which people, you know, thought that these Pokemon were going to be, they're actually weak against those two types. I just think that's interesting. I am confident that there's a reason behind that. Or maybe they have three types. Maybe it's psychic, steel, and fire, and they just haven't revealed that yet. Or maybe they do some weird evolution thing like Kyurem, and they change types or get a new type or something silly like that. We don't know. All we know is everything I just read to you guys.
Which basically means that we know nothing at all.
Right, like how many legendary or mythical Pokemon have alternative forms? Keldeo, Jamin, Kyurem. Don't Reshiram and Zekrom have forms too?
Well, no, you're thinking of how
fuse with Kyurem.
Yeah, they fuse, which is another weird thing. There's obviously more to these Pokemon than just the details they've provided.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the third is going to be.
Yeah.
Pokemon Eclipse version. It better be called that. That'd be tight.
That'd be tight, yo.
I'd
buy the heck out of that video game.
Let's see. Pokemon Sun and Moon take place in the Alola region, which centers around four
in the Alola region.
Four tropical islands and one artificial island. Does Hawaii have five islands, Will?
I believe I named them previously. Big Island, Lanai, Molokai, Maui, Oahu. Oh, there's more than that. There's Kauai. Yeah, there's more than five.
Okay, well, we have five in this game. Many Pokemon that have never been seen before inhabit the lush islands of the Alola region. The story begins right after the main character moves to Alola. After choosing to play as a hero or a heroine, players can customize their character's name and appearance. No sooner have they arrived than their adventure begins to unfold. They will meet many fascinating people as they travel through the region. Professor Kukui is Aloha's region Pokemon professor. We all got that wrong weeks ago.
Yeah, I've got to a retraction, because I was like so adamant that Kukui was not the professor.
Well, it's crazy because Bulbapedia even had Hala as the professor, and Bulbapedia usually doesn't list things unless they're pretty confident. I think Serebii did the same thing. Like, Serebii was also confident. That was probably just messed up somehow in translation or not fine. I don't know. Whatever.
Although I will commend the Pokemon's new commitment to having extra hot Pokemon professors.
Yeah, it's been a good string. Well, I guess just two.
I mean, but Oak really started strong, and then Professor is passionate about his research into Pokemon moves, and has sometimes taken direct hits from Pokemon if there was something to be learned by it. Sporting a white lab coat, Professor Kukui has his own unique style. So yeah, there you go. This professor is researching Pokemon moves. Professor Oak was researching the bond between Pokemon and humans. Elm was Pokemon evolution, I think.
Who are you? I can't remember all their different specialties.
Sycamore was Mega Evolution. Juniper was, I can't remember. Was Juniper like climate?
The fact that you remember any of these is super impressive to me.
It was not climate because they had the weather research lab. I know she was looking into why the stuff in the Chargestone Cavern. She's looking into organs, Pokemon organs.
Oh, the old origins. I think Birch was like berries and food. I could be wrong. Anyway,
least relevant Pokemon professor.
Right, we could do a whole episode about the professors. That would actually probably be really cool. Okay,
Who are we kidding? We would never
do that. Yeah, yeah. Why would we?
Burke was habitats and distribution.
Okay.
There you go. Close the loop.
Lily is a... You should have told us about 10 minutes later. You dropped the ball there.
My name is not Travis.
Lily is a mysterious girl who assists the professor, a young girl. This young girl is about the same age as the player's character and is Professor Kukui's assistant. She is not fond of making Pokemon fight in battles, but she loves reading, and she has read a great number of books. Lily will play an important role in the story of Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah, I don't think that she's going to be the champion, which is a rumor that I heard, especially if she doesn't like battling. How can you be the Pokemon regional champion if you don't like battling? But I was going over some old stuff where I went over the strange souvenir. And one thing that stuck out to me, just because I'm on a roll about the champion of the Alola region, is the tourist who gives you the strange souvenir says, just wait until you meet our champion. There's something else. And that almost makes me believe that the champion of the Alola region may actually not be a human being. Ponder that.
Okay. I was going to say, I think that Pokemon has finally realized that not everyone plays the game to battle. And I think it's taken them a really long time to... It's almost like they were scared to get away from that. But if you look at Pokemon Black and White, Charon is obviously, like, that's where you have the two rivals. Charon is obviously the one that you battle and the harder one. And then you have Bianca, who is like a pushover, is like a joke when it comes to battling. And it's almost like Bianca, you should have never battled. She should have just been a rival in some other aspect of the game, but they didn't know how to do that. So in this game, it's like, well, here is your rival that you will be battling. And here is your rival that you will be not battling, but doing some other aspect of the game with.
And they acknowledge that in X and Y, because out of your different companions, they each had a different goal in mind.
Mm. Or even before that, the games about, I mean, going back to like Pokemon contests, that with each game since that, they've always tried to introduce some sort of side thing that you can do with Pokemon. But I think what you're noticing, Steve, is that they're getting better at finding out what people like to do other than battling. Like there is always a knowledge that there's a large swath of a fan base of Pokemon that enjoys the game but not battling, but it's taken them a while to find out what that formula is for how to cater to those players, and maybe just emphasizing it more story-wise is a way to go, but who knows?
Right. Yeah, and there's also, like, the concern is, like, what? Like in Black and White, they had the movie stuff. And to me, that was like,
yeah,
I don't want to do this. Like, this is not fun. And so hopefully with Lily, they have found a new balance of like, okay, this is another thing you can do if you don't like battling. But also, we're not going to shove it in your face. But I'm sure it will be shoved in your face.
You don't know.
Yeah, yeah. What's this guy's name? Hayu Huai? H-A-U?
How?
How? How?
How?
How? How? How is a Pokemon-loving young boy with a big appetite. He is the same age as the player's character. How becomes one of the main character's first friends. His real weakness is some kind of donuts. I don't know how to say this word, but I looked it up. It was a donut.
How's it spelled?
M-A-L-A-S-A-D-A-S.
Malasadas.
Yeah.
Oh, man, those are so good.
But they're donuts, right?
Well, it's like a Portuguese donut thing. It's fried dough. It is, but it's not. You wouldn't put frosting or anything on that. But I just have memories of when I was a little kid going to Leonard's Bakery and getting like fresh malasadas off the line. So good.
That does sound good. It is a famous treat in the Alola region. Hao is always in search of the malasalada shop. Malasada. How is a big-hearted boy who really loves Pokemon. Sounds like he is the opposite of Blue. Is that what or Red? Whatever. The Gary, the wannabe Gary.
Blue is the rival of Generation 1.
Right. The one who doesn't love Pokemon until the very end.
The one who knocks.
let's get to the Pokedex. I think that the Pokedex is the last new thing here. The Pokedex is a convenient tool that records information about the Pokemon that the players see and catch during their adventure. In Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, Professor Kukui provides a special Pokedex to the player known as the Rotom Pokedex. It is inhabited by a Rotom, a Pokemon with the power to reside in various electronic appliances. The Rotom Pokedex does much more than record Pokemon info. It has its own personality. Besides showing players the current location and their next destination, the Rotom Pokedex also provides advice where to go next based on the conversations players have with other characters. And I just want to get this out of the way real quick. In Pokemon Sun and Moon, a QR scanner function allows players to see information about Pokemon when they scan QR code patterns. By scanning in special QR patterns, fans can register Pokemon of the Alola region to their Pokedex and find out where they live. If they scan the QR code for a Pokemon that they haven't yet caught, players can check its habitat and where to search it out. I believe QR codes are very popular in Japan, where they do Andrew was talking about this, who is our Japanese resident
correspondent.
But they do like a lot of events where they have to like go around areas in Japan and scan QR codes. So I'm assuming that's why it's there. I don't think QR codes really took off in America at all. I mean, I remember when people tried to make them take off, but yeah.
Yeah. The original 3D Pokedex that was on the original 3DS had a QR code functionality. And I remember like regionals in 2011, they had some QR codes for that. And that was the only time I ever saw QR codes and Pokemon together.
I'm assuming that there will be more Rotom forms. We have the washing machine, the lawnmower.
The Washington machine.
The Washington machine.
The machine that will become the first head of state of whatever country you're trying to create with your machine.
The lawnmower, the fan, the refrigerator, and the heater?
Oven.
And now we have a Pokedex. I don't know. It just like if you're gonna make Rotom turn into something else, you might as well add two or three more things to that list besides the Pokedex. Yeah.
Well, I'm very, very happy that we have at this point in time clearly identified that thing in the game that people have chosen to hate, even though they have seen and experienced absolutely nothing of it. Yeah, the amount of hate I have seen towards Rotom Dex is ridiculous.
Really?
Oh, I hope they have an option to have a Pokedex without a Rotom. I don't want Rotom in my Pokedex. Oh, this is terrible.
Pokemon
blah, blah.
Fans are so weird.
Dude, chill. You haven't even seen it. You don't know. Yes.
Also, like, half those fans it's complaining are probably going to Game Shark them some perfect EV Pokemon and never and just battle and never use the Pokedex.
I'm guessing it's just going to be purely cosmetic. Like occasionally your Pokedex will, if you're stuck at a part or like you could ask your Pokedex, hey, where do I go? Also shout out to when I was at the airport a few weeks ago, shout out to the random person who was playing X and Y, and saw that I was playing Hearthstone on my laptop and correctly assumed that I knew things about Pokemon. And asked me where he needed to go after fixing the blackout.
Oh, the power plant?
I didn't remember, and I was like, sorry, dude.
You go back into Lumio City?
Yeah, that's what I would have just said, but I didn't want to sound like I didn't know it. Like I didn't want to just say that if I didn't know, but it seemed like the logical thing, but I was like, sorry, I don't know. So if you're out there, I'm sorry I couldn't do you a better one. He also said he's really good at Dark Souls. That came up in conversation.
Good. I'm so glad. I think I didn't look too deep into this, and that's okay. We have plenty of time before Sun and Moon comes out. But there was a couple screenshots. I think one was from Gen 6, and I think one was Gen 3, and I think people were trying to find it in other games, but in a science lab in both those games that I mentioned, there was like a scientist that would told you, we are trying to discover new technology to like talk to Pokemon.
I think that's a stretch to say that the Rotom Pokedex is the culmination of that. I think that's a stretch personally.
Well, I would say as the culmination, yes, but they did, I think they did mention that the Rotom Pokedex will help you communicate with Pokemon in new ways.
Okay. Those were the exact words. I mean, Pokemon can talk to each other, so I'm assuming if the Rotom lives in your Pokedex, it could translate what, I don't know.
That would be cool.
And again, I don't know how much that plays positively or negatively into the future of these games, but at this point, like, I've played so many Pokemon games, I am open to anything.
As you should be. Keep an open mind, and you'll never be disappointed. Or mostly won't be disappointed. There's still the possibility. But with an open mind, you're not closing doors before you've had an opportunity to go through them.
Right,
Come up with some more metaphors.
All right. Let's move on. Okay, actually, I did want to mention this part of news. There was a Pokemon Go Kickstarter that...
Wait, what?
It was called... The Kickstarter is ended. It's called Go Trip, an interactive Australia-wide Pokemon Go road trip. So, Will, they stole your idea to road trip, except this was over Australia. The pitch is an online viewer determined web series documenting Niantic's upcoming mobile app, 21 destinations, 4 trainers, 2 weeks, 151 Pokemon. And they need I believe this is in American dollars because I see the dollar sign, and so they said they needed $1,600 for gas, they needed $2,000 for accommodation, which is, you know, hotels, they needed $13,000 for food and groceries. They needed $450 for utilities / miscellaneous, and they needed $300 for Kickstarter fees.
I would guess that is Australian dollars.
Probably. Their total goal was $5,400, and they did not hit their goal. They ended at $1,000 with 30 backers, and funding was unsuccessful.
Things are a bummer, Steve. Why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I have a lot of thoughts about this. My first thought, I look at the project and the Kickstarter page, and it's very Gen 1 focused, and it looks well thought out. Like the page doesn't look like this is we need money, give us money, end of Kickstarter page. But at the same time, you look at the cost and you break that down of like, we need gas, we need hotel, we need food, we need internet, pay for our 2-week vacation. Like, that's what it reads to me.
Basically, you're right. You just broke it down. Although they were going to record it, right? They're going to make like a reality TV show.
Right,
about it.
Yeah. I think the problem with that is, and I'm not like saying that, like, I'm not trying to like badmouth these guys or like say like laugh at them that they failed, but There have been so many failures on Kickstarter, and Kickstarter's hard, and it's just not an easy platform. Like you could look at any Kickstarter and go, well, they're just asking for money for this, and it's very give me money to do this. But I'm definitely paying for your vacation. Like, 4 people are taking it 2 weeks. All their gas is paid for, all their food is paid for, we're paying for their hotels, and maybe at the end we're going to get some video content, but like that, nothing is guaranteed on Kickstarter. So at the very least, all I've done is paid for your vacation, whereas the other way around should have been, we already did all this with our own money, and we have all this footage, but now like we need the money for post.
And to reimburse expenses, right. Sure.
Yeah, like, that would be like a podcast starting up and saying, like, we want to do 100 episodes, this is the money we need. Like, yeah, that could work. I don't know what you've done in the past. Like, where's my insurance there? Where's my where's my confidence in giving you money? Where, I mean, I can compare this show to that. We did a Kickstarter 4 years after we started. Like, that was 4 years of episodes, 4 years of content. We were like, here's a Kickstarter. We want to do 100 more episodes. This is the money we need. And we hit that very easily. And we're still producing episodes. And it was like nice to be like, I paid for this out of pocket for 4 years all by myself because I loved doing it. I didn't say like, hey, I don't want to work for like 2 months. Can you give me? I'm not saying they want to do that, but like when you read that, it's like,
in all fairness, the startup cost for a documentary series is much higher than to just make a podcast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just a comparison.
I've gone down a weird rabbit hole even talking because frankly, I don't care about the lack or existence of an Australian documentary series about Pokemon Go. So I've just been looking on Twitter, and I ended up going down a rabbit hole into the community of Mark Hamill enthusiasts on Twitter. And a few of them have in their, Mark Hamill being the actor who portrays Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars series of films.
Incorrect. Them, Mark Hamill is the voice actor for the Joker in the Batman animated series.
Sure. A few of them have stipulations in their Twitter bio of how many times Mark Hamill himself has liked one of their tweets. And this person has even received a DM from Mr. Hamill. So that's kind of impressive. The world of, I guess what I'm saying is, the world of celebrity enthusiast Twitter is more fascinating to me than is whether or not a group of Australians were able to get enough Kickstarter money to make a documentary about Pokemon Go.
It's also hard to pitch me a documentary of Pokemon Go when that game is not out yet.
Yeah.
And I think I'd rather play it than watch other people play it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's tackle some emails.
I prefer a less violent metaphor, but go on.
Oh, you know it. Okay. So this email was from April, a couple months ago, and it was relating to the Midwest Gaming Classic, and we get a lot of emails, but like some of them are just questions, and some of them are just like, hey, we love the show, and some of them, like, really, I'm like they're very few and far between. There's an email I read, and then I immediately take it to Irene, and I tell her to read that, because like something like pulls at your emotions. So bear with me, it's a little bit long, and this is from Robbie.
Should I get some tissues ready? Like,
yeah, I would. It's from Robbie. And I did email Robbie back and said thank you, and I asked him if I could read this, and he said he would be honored. So here we go. Again, this is related to the Midwest Gaming Classic, which was, I don't know, probably like 10 episodes back. It says, hi, SBJ. I was listening to your recent podcast about the Midwest Gaming Classic and some of your frustrations and how you put all this time and effort into something, and before you know it, it's all gone, and you're just left, pick up and go home. I live in a city not too far from you, and over the past weekend, I was rebuilding a chicken coop that I have to raise four hobby chickens. I started raising the chickens about a year ago, and while there were some bumps along the way, I've learned a lot, and I was having fun doing it. I sold my old hens, and I got a group of four chicks in February, and I've been raising them in my basement. They are now big enough that they can be outside, and I've decided to build a coop to fit their needs a bit better. Two friends and I worked tirelessly for 2 days building the coop, and on a Sunday at 8 p.m. we finally finished. This was the second remodel in a year. We got the chickens their cozy new coop and celebrated our accomplishment. At 5:30 a.m. the next morning, I woke up and there was a firefighter pounding on my door, yelling about a fire. In an instant, I lost my chickens and the new coop, and honestly, about the 20 hours of work we put into it. I was dumb enough to put a 60-watt light bulb in the coop and with them to generate some heat during the spring in Wisconsin, because sometimes it can dip below freezing, and the fire department thinks that something happened to the light bulb and sparked a fire in the coop. I was listening to your podcast while I was shoveling the debris and doing some general yard work cleanup. What you were saying about the time, energy, and nothing to show really hit home for me. You're a passionate person. Don't ever lose that. Sometimes things don't turn around the way they should. You're one of the few content creators I look forward to and seeing new stuff in week in and week out. And the sheer number of different ways you create content for your fans of your work is incredible, fascinating, and inspiring. You are truly very talented. I never heard of Midwest Gaming Classic until I found your podcast, and I was considering attending this year, but decided not to, mostly because the weekend turned out great weather and I took advantage to rebuild my coop. I have to ask myself, if I would have gone instead, would my chicken still be alive? However, I can't live with that, and neither should anyone else. So thank you for bringing your TVs and your Wii U's and everything you did to make MGC great. For those to attend, thank you to your friends that drove hours and brought extra TVs and cables to play Pokken. Very big thank you to Will, Travis, and Logan, and everyone who participates in Pokemon Podcast for the crazy conversations and brilliant ways you make the day better. I recently started watching your Dungeons & Dragonite stream, and I saw how much fun you all seem to be having, and it might be something I might want to try a group play with. Keep doing what you're doing, and keep doing it the fullest. I'm going to start rebuilding my chicken coop this weekend, and in a few weeks, I'll get new hens, and you should do the same, metaphorically speaking. For every person that just wants to sit in your chairs or play with your video games for 15 minutes and just walk away without saying a word to you, there's somebody else out there laughing at your corny, I mean spectacular, jokes, wishing that they could just shake your hand, introduce themselves, and say, I like Gen 4 too. Looking forward to the next movie night. Mm. Take care, Robbie.
Well, now I feel all sad for those poor chickens.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your chickens.
My sister raises chickens, and she really loves each and every one up to the point that she slaughters them and has them for dinner. But still, there's a lot of love that goes into chicken raising. I understand it.
Yeah. It was a really great email. And sorry about the chickens.
Yeah, sorry about the chickens, and thanks for the kind words, Robbie.
Yep. Well said, Travis. I don't think anything's going to top that email.
So let's read another one.
So we'll save the other.
What Pokemon do you think should get a Mega Evolution?
If you have any emails, chickens or not chickens, you can email us at sbj@pkmncast.com, or you could just go to pokemonpodcast.com and hit the contact button. Both ways are acceptable. I know we said we were going to read three, but we'll just leave it as that, and we'll tackle more emails next week. Let's move on to Pokemon of the Week. And since Lunala is a bat Pokemon, I figured let's do another bat Pokemon.
I thought we could only do cats.
You know, I thought about that, and I was like, we need some bat love here. Some Batman love. So we're going to do Noivern, which is a flying dragon type Pokemon.
Nice.
It is the sound wave Pokemon, not to be confused with the future sound type Pokemon that we might get. 715 in the Pokedex, knows the abilities Frisk, Infiltrator, and Telepathy. Travis's moveset, but before he does that, from its ears, Noivern releases ultrasonic waves which can be strong enough to shatter a large boulder. It uses these waves to freely navigate through darkness, allowing it to easily ambush prey under cover of night. Noivern is extremely combative towards anything that wanders too close to it. It loves eating fruit, thus approaching it with fruit helps it to stay calm. Oh, and apparently Ash has a Noivern. I did not know that.
Well, he's got a Noibat, but I guess it has evolved in an episode that has not appeared yet.
Oh, okay. Spoiler. Travis, what do we got for moves?
Yeah, I'm going to take one of the recommended sets from Smogon, but replace one of the moves just because I think it's more fun. You can do a Choice Specs set. That's one that they recommend with Draco Meteor, Hurricane, Flamethrower, and then U-Turn is their last one, which doesn't get the Choice Specs benefit, but is just a good move anyway. But I think that's less fun, especially because you can do cool things with the second set they recommend, which I'm going to tweak a little bit, which uses taunt and roost. So the idea here is to counter a lot of Pokemon that your opponent might often lead with. If there's some sort of setup strategy that your opponent's going to have, having both recovery and the ability to use taunt is great. And the ability Infiltrator makes it so that if for some reason their first Pokemon is setting up something like a light screen or reflect, you can get through that too. They recommend Draco Meteor and then either Flamethrower or Air Slash, then Taunt and Roost. But I think if you're running Noivern, you should go Draco Meteor and then Boom Burst and then Taunt and Roost. Because sure, you get better type coverage with either... Well, you get stabbed with Air Slash and you get better typing coverage with Flamethrower. But there's so few Pokemon that learn... There's three Pokemon, I guess five if you count through breeding, because Talo, and you can breed into Talo and Chatot. But there's only five Pokemon that can learn Boom Burst. And really cool, 140 base power, 100%. Chance to hit. The only other effect that it has is that in doubles or triples, it does damage to all adjacent Pokemon, including allies. And then if they have soundproof, they're not affected. But just 100% accuracy, 140 power, normal type move, special. It's a special move, by the way. This is really cool. So few Pokemon get it. So why aren't you running it on Noivern if you're running a Noivern? That's what I think. It's going to do a lot of damage, and you're going to look cool doing it, so that's what matters.
Do you say what ability you should have?
Infiltrator. And then we can do Timid Nature, and then 252, like full EVs in Special Attack and Speed.
I don't know if you said this, but...
With a Life Orb, if I didn't say it.
Infiltrator ignores the effects of Reflect, Light Screen, Safeguard, and Mist.
And it also can get past a substitute as well.
Yeah. As of Gen 6, it can get past substitute.
Yeah, so when I went to... When Pokemon Worlds was here in D.C. In 2014, I think Jim, who I was hanging out, had a competitive Noivern on his team. But I think from what I remember, he had one of the wrong moves on it and didn't realize it until he was actually in competition. But it has been used competitively.
Noivern is the trivia of Bulbapedia here. Noivern is the fastest dragon type Pokemon with a base speed of 123. I always forget that Noivern's dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Noivern and its pre-evolution Noibat are the only dual flying type Pokemon with flying as their primary. Flymary. Noivern can be seen.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh, I guess that's true.
Because I think most bird Pokemon are normal / flying. Noivern mm-hmm. can be seen parallel to Crobat in several ways. They're both flying Pokemon. They both have Infiltrator. They both have the same base stat total for their HP, defense, and special defense. And Noivern and Noibat, I feel like often forgotten about.
And the shiny is one of the greens, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so. It's not like one of the bad greens. Noivern is like purple and like turquoise. And the shiny is
red and green,
like a mute green and like a deep red.
Yeah, kind of like a distorted Christmas nightmare.
That's my favorite Kanye West album.
Distorted Christmas nightmare? I know.
Top of the charts. I think that wraps up our show for you guys. I don't know what our time is at here. An hour and a half. So probably with cuts, probably about an hour and 20 minutes. If there's no news next week, so we got what, less than 2 weeks to E3? So probably next time we record, it will be right before E3, so probably no news. And then the week after, we'll probably have a bunch. So we'll keep you updated. I don't know if we'll record early or not, depending on how much news is dropped or how much news is not dropped. But... keep your eyes peeled to our Twitter for updates like that. So that's at Pokemon Podcast. If you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so. Patreon.com/itssupereffective. Otherwise, had something here. Oh, otherwise, we're running old episodes of It's Super Effective on our Mixlr page. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Mixlr.com/PKMNcast. Mixlr is M-I-X-L-R. There's no E. Travis is at the Travis W. Will is at washed in the sink. If you want to email us, sbj@pkmncast.com. I am at Dragging a Lake on Twitter. Otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And we are
super
Super B Guy You.